If you were here last night, and if you were here in Sunday school this morning, and if you were at church this morning, and I know you're here tonight because you wouldn't be hearing what I'm saying if you weren't here tonight, you would see that the Lord has sort of put the services or the things that we've had, our Valentine's banquet, our Sunday school lesson, the message this morning, and the message tonight together like this. It always amazes me when he does something like that. I prepared my messages that I was going to preach today a couple weeks ago because I knew I'd be coming back from my trip and I wouldn't have much time. So I asked the Lord to help me get my messages together. And then when he led me to do what we did at the Valentine's banquet, and then what you put the Sunday school lesson together, he knew what was going to happen. And so again, he's just sort of put them all together like this. Now, if you're only here tonight and you didn't get to come last night or this morning, the message tonight will still be good. And so if this is only one you're going to get, it's still good. But if you were here and got all four of them, again, it's just I always praise the Lord when he does something like this because he's just tied it all together, I think, in a wonderful way. We read from 2 Kings chapter 2. God had called Elisha to replace Elijah at his prophet. You remember Elijah had stood up to King Ahab and Jezebel, and he had killed the prophets of Baal that served Jezebel. And Jezebel had sent word to him, "I'm going to kill you." And he goes fleeing into the wilderness. And while in the wilderness, he meets with God, and he tells God, "Hey, I'm the only one left. Everybody else has turned against you. Nobody else is serving you. I'm the only one left." And God said, no, there's still 7,000 people in Israel that haven't kneeled to Baal. In fact, I want you to go and anoint a couple guys, one to be kings, and then I want you to anoint Elijah to take your place as prophet. Your task is just about done. I'm getting ready to bring you home. And so Elijah went back and threw his cloak on Elisha. If you remember the story, he was plowing, and he killed the oxen and burned the plow, went and said goodbye to mom and dad, and then he went and became Elijah's servant. He was his minister. He served him. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's on his way to heaven, and in fact, in chapter 2, he goes to heaven in that whirlwind. Three different times, we read about him in the first six verses, three different times Elijah said to this one who was his servant, his minister, the one who was going to replace him, he said, "I want you to wait here. God's sending me somewhere else." And three different times Elisha said back to Elijah, "No, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to leave you. Where you're going, I'm going. If you're going someplace else, I'm going someplace else because I'm not going to leave you." Tonight I preach on that subject, "I will not leave thee." I will not leave thee. Loyalty is a virtue that's disappearing in our world today. It's commonplace for people to leave others that they should be loyal to. Loyalty means faithfulness. Loyalty means saying like Elijah, "I will not leave thee." Doesn't matter how the circumstances change. It doesn't matter how hard it gets, or it doesn't even matter that the other person may want you to go. Like Elijah said to Elisha, "Hey, I want you to stay here." And Elisha said, "Oh, no." Loyalty says, "I will not leave thee." Bob Jones, the great Methodist preacher, said one time, he said, "If you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. If you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing." And tonight, I have a real simple message. I want to mention four things, four different people and institutions, however you want to say it, but four different things that deserve our loyalty, that deserve us saying about them, "I will not leave thee." And again, you're going to hear some things that you heard last night. You're going to hear some things that you heard this morning. But again, this is God putting it all together. As Sue testified a moment ago, when that scripture came to her heart, and when we sang that song in the choir, it was God trying to tell her something. And I always take that repetition from God is that he's trying to tell us something. So, four things that deserve our loyalty. Number one, our Savior. deserves our loyalty. Jesus said to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said to us, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Why don't we say to Jesus, you're loyal to me, I'm going to be loyal to you, I will not leave thee. One of his disciples, we talked about him this morning, said that, the Apostle John. In John chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And the disciple standing by says a lot about John's faithfulness. We talked about it this morning. When Jesus was arrested and taken to that mockery of a trial that he had, when he was taken to Caiaphas's house, and all the other disciples had fled except for he and Peter. John knew the doorkeeper, and so he was able to get in. He got Peter in. Peter was standing in the courtyard around the fire. He was standing with those that had arrested Christ. He was standing with those the servants of those that were trying to bring down Christ. And Peter was outside denying that he even knew the Savior. It would have been better for him to do like the other nine disciples and just run and not try to make a show of it and be there around the campfire of those that were about to kill Christ. It would have been better for him to have fled with the other nine disciples than to stand there and deny that he knew Christ. But where was John? Where was John? And I know this is a repeat from this morning. I thought it was good this morning, so I'm going to give it to you again tonight. Where was John? Peter was out in the courtyard saying, I don't know him. And cursing and saying, no, I'm not one of his disciples. And he was accused three different times of being a disciple of Christ. Three different times he said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. Where was John? John was in the hall. John was standing beside Christ. John was raising his hand and saying, I don't care who knows that I'm one of his disciples. I'm with him. I'm never going to leave him. Why don't we say the same thing to Jesus today? The day is coming. We'll see the day in our lifetime. Write it down. I'm not a prophet, but I'm prophesying tonight. In our lifetime, we will be called to stand for Christ. We will be called to stand against the world. We will be called to stand for right. We will be called to make a choice. Are we his disciple or not? Are we a follower of his or not? I read a story in a communist country in a small village where one Sunday morning, a bunch of soldiers came to the only church in the village where most of the villagers were gathered to worship God. They brought their guns into the church. They broke up the service. They pointed their guns at the people that were gathered there in that church and said, if you don't renounce Christ and leave, we're going to shoot you in the head. If you don't renounce the name of Jesus and leave this place right now, we're going to kill you all. Many of the congregation left. They not only left, they fled. They ran out of that place. It was just a handful of Christians that were left that were saying, by the fact that they didn't leave, go ahead and shoot us. We're not going to leave our Savior. We're not going to deny that we know him. He died for us, and we're going to stand for him. We're not going to leave him. And they stood. The story goes that the soldiers put their guns down and said, we just wanted to come and worship with some true Christians. We just wanted to come and worship with those that are not afraid and not ashamed to stand for Jesus Christ. I can't help but wonder if that same thing happened tonight. If a bunch of soldiers with guns came in and said, renounce Christ and leave, or we're going to kill you, what we would do. I wonder what I would do. I hope I would have the courage to stay and stand for Christ and say, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. I read another story a few weeks ago that when I read stories, I always clip them out because I figure the Lord's going to give me an opportunity to tell them in a sermon or not. And by the way, when you tell me things that I think will make good illustrations, I write them down. That's why I keep 3x5 cards. When I hear something that's good that I think may be an illustration, I write it down. You just never know when I'm going to get to use it. So you got to be careful what you tell me because you might hear it. But anyhow, I read a story of the soldiers from Spain that were besieging a little town on the border. And I don't have my mic. It's down here. I better stay here. And they had surrounded the city. They were besieging it. They were starving it out. And so the city had run out of food. Famine was rampant. Sickness was also in the city. And so the Spaniards thought they could get people to turn against the king that ruled the city. And so they shot arrows with little notes on the arrows over the wall. And the note said, "If you surrender, your life and your property will be saved. If you surrender to us, your life and your property will be saved." Someone took one of those arrows, tore their note off of it, and wrote another note on it. Their note said, "We have a king, and we will not leave him." They tied that little note to the arrow and shot it back at the Spanish army. That's loyalty. That's saying, "I will not leave thee." Satan will give us all sorts of temptations. He'll give us all sorts of opportunities to be disloyal to our Savior. We need to say to Jesus Christ that regardless of what happens, regardless of the persecutions that come, regardless of the circumstances that come, "I will not leave thee. I will be loyal to my Savior." Number two, not only do we need to be loyal to our Savior, we need to be loyal to our spouse. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, Jesus was talking about marriage when he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." You know, the parent in the scheme of things, in God's scheme of things, the relationship between a child and his parents was very important. In the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship to each other. And the first one of the last six is where God tells children to honor their father and their mother. In fact, in Old Testament times, if you cursed your mom or dad, you could be stoned. I mean, you could be killed. You could be killed by stoning if you cursed your mom and dad. And so the relationship between children and their parents was very important, is very important in God's scheme. And yet, here's what God says. Gail, are you listening tonight? I want you to listen. And I'm teasing you now. You know that. But God says the relationship that you have with your spouse is more important than the relationship that you have with your parents. And, by the way, more important than the relationship that you have with your children. Not to say that we shouldn't love both of them. We ought to love our parents. We ought to love our children. But what God said was the relationship that you have to the one that you are married to is the most important relationship in your life after your relationship with me. After your relationship with God, the most important relationship in your life is your relationship with your spouse. You know what that word cleave means too? When Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife," it's a Greek word that means to be glued to. That's what it means. Glued to. With super glue. Now that's not in the Greek. I'm adding that. But it's a word that means glued to. So when a man and a woman marry, when they become husband and wife, they are glued to each other. And being glued to each other, what they're saying is, "I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee." Look, when you got married, and I know that people use different vows, and I know that preachers use different vows. I always try to use the same vows. Most of the time, I try to have. I'm getting my mic. I can't stand still. But I always use the same vows. And again, most of the time I have the husband to be and the wife to be to repeat the vows. So I say, repeat after me. I take name the bride's name. You today to be, and this is the groom speaking, to be my lawful and wedded wife. And I promise before God and these witnesses that I will love, honor, and cherish you. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep myself only for you as long as we both shall live. I go through a similar vow, just changing a couple of words, where I have the bride repeat after me. And I always pray after the husband, the groom and the bride exchange their vows, and I always include this in my prayer. I always say, Lord, I know this couple realize that they've made these vows in front of their friends and their family. I know that they know that they've made these vows in front of a preacher. But Father, help them to understand that they've also made these vows in your presence. And so that makes them holy vows. Holy vows. You know why you need to be loyal to your spouse? First of all, because you promised them that you would be loyal. Second of all, because you made that promise in front of your family and your friends. And I know some of you didn't have a large group when you got married, but you still had a couple. You had some witnesses that were either family or friends. Many of you had big weddings where you made those promises in front of a lot of family and friends. You need to be loyal to your spouse because you made those promises in front of your family and your friends. You need to be loyal because, again, most of you made those promises in front of a preacher, a man of God. And most important, you need to be loyal to your spouse because you made those promises in front of God. Amen. In front of a holy, righteous God. He heard the promises that you made to one another. Yeah, we talked about it last night. Even in the marriages that have lasted 50 years. We had six couples at our Valentine's banquet last night that had been married for over 50 years. And we had the top five to give a little testimony about what was the secret for them staying together so long. And they talked about the love that they had for one another. They talked about the relationship that they had to God and how their relationship with the Lord helped them with their relationship. But they also talked about commitment. They talked about, yeah, in every marriage, there's some rough times. There's some rough patches that people go through. I can't remember. I think it was Brother Paul or somebody. One of them said, hey, divorce wasn't an option. It wasn't an option. That's the way it ought to be for a Christian. Divorce is not an option. You made a commitment. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. God only gave one reason. Now, the Apostle Paul, I didn't mention this morning. He had another one in the book of Corinthians. But God only gave one reason for divorce, and that's fornication, repeated unfaithfulness, repeated adultery. And there is no other reason in the sight of God for divorce. None. We ought to be loyal to our spouse. We ought to be loyal to our spouse. Number three, we ought to be loyal to our friends. In John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. All of us have some friends like that. All of us have some friends that we do just about anything for. Friendships like that are usually born in adversity. They are born by going through valleys together. They are born, and they are rare, and they are priceless, and they are irreplaceable. And so tonight, I say, be loyal to that kind of friend. Don't throw that kind of friendship away. Be loyal to your friends. Yes, they're going to say some things sometimes that you're going to find unkind. They're going to say some things at time that you're going to find unfeeling. They at times perhaps are going to seem like they are ignoring you. And I'm sure it goes both ways.
There are probably some times you're going to say some things that they're going to think is unkind and uncaring. And there's going to be some times where they think that you're ignoring them. But be loyal to your friends. Don't throw those kind of friendships away. They are rare. They are priceless. They are a gift from God. And we need to say to our friends, I will not leave thee. Not going to leave you. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. I am going to be your friend. Because friends like that are priceless. So we need to be loyal to our Savior. We need to be loyal to our spouse. We need to be loyal to our friends. And then number four, we need to be loyal to our church. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I know we have some folks visiting with us, and we have folks that visit with us every Sunday night, and I appreciate your visit. What I'm going to say next applies to the folks that go here all the time. You just listen because it applies to you at your church. I hope that you're here tonight because you know in your heart and in your soul that God wants you to be here. As best that you can determine, God's will for your life when it comes to the church that you attend is for you to attend this church. God has led you here. God has placed you here. God has given you a place of service here. He has molded us together as one body to carry out the commission that he's given us to carry out to reach the lost, to strengthen the brethren, and to praise him. Each of us have a unique place in this body of Christ. And tonight, I encourage you to be loyal. And what I mean by being loyal is this. Don't leave until God tells you to leave. Don't leave until God tells you to leave. Getting mad at the preacher is not a good reason to leave the church. There are going to be times, I know, because it's happened, that you're going to get mad at your preacher. And that's all right. He's a human being just like you are. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to mess up. And there are things he's going to say. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I drive home on Sunday night or Sunday morning after I've said something, and usually and I won't go into any detail, but after I've said something, I said, I shouldn't have said that. I know I hurt somebody's feelings when I said that. I know I wasn't kind when I said that. And so oftentimes I go home and I just beat on the steering wheel. I said, I shouldn't have done that. God, help me not to do that again. There's going to be times when you get mad at me, justifiably so. But getting mad at the preacher is not a good reason to leave a church. Getting upset at another member is not a good reason to leave the church. Other people are going to do things that you don't appreciate. Other people are going to say things that you don't appreciate. Other people may seem to ignore you, and you're not going to appreciate it. But getting mad and leaving the church because you're mad at another member is not a good reason to leave a church. Getting hurt is not a good reason to leave the church. The only legitimate reason to leave a church is when God says, hey, I got someplace else I want you to go. Your time of service there is done. I want you to go to this place. My dad always told me, he said, if you got a job, don't quit it until you have another one. Don't quit a job until you have another. And I would tell you the same thing. Don't quit a church until you got another one. Don't quit a church until God tells you where he wants you to go. Don't leave a place, especially if you're getting fed from the Word of God. And don't leave that place because you get mad at the preacher, you get hurt, or you get mad at somebody else and say, well, I'm going to go find a new church. You're going to have a hard time finding it because God didn't want you to leave the one that you were at. He put you there, he wants you to stay and say until he tells you to leave, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. He wants us to be loyal. Just like Elijah said to Elijah, Elijah was telling him, just stay here. I don't want you to go. Just stay here. And Elijah said, not on your life. Not on your life. Where you're going, I'm going. We ought to say the same thing to Jesus Christ. We ought to have that kind of loyalty to him. We ought to have that kind of loyalty to the one that we're married to. We ought to have that kind of loyalty to our friends. We ought to have that kind of loyalty to our church. That's the kind of loyalty that God expects us to have. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and again, as I look around the crowd, I think most of us are Christians that are here tonight, and that'd be a wonderful thing if it was. But if by chance there's one person here that's not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus can make the difference. In fact, he's the only one that can make the difference. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't expect to get into heaven because you're a good person. Don't expect to get into heaven because you try to live your life in a good, kind way. Don't expect to get into heaven because you come to church. All those things don't qualify you for heaven. The only thing that'll get you into heaven, the only thing that'll make you right with God, is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Accept what he did on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins. It's the only way. Nothing else will work. Not of works, the Bible said, lest any man should boast. And so if you're here tonight and don't know Christ, I would invite you to receive him. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus is the only one that works. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the whole weekend of weaving it all together and just reinforcing things in our life that need to be reinforced. And I pray you speak to hearts tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that needs to do something, needs to make a decision for you, that you'd help them make that decision. You give them the courage, what they need to make it. And Father, that they'd make it tonight. If there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they see their sin. They see the penalty for that sin, the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And they come and receive the gift that he offers to every single person. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. Help us to be obedient as you lead. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.